brighten up those dark mornings. Wheeler, Ollie, and Lecter. Mornings at the Cabin.
Mornings at the Cabin indeed. Wheeler and Lecter with you on your Wednesday morning. It is 2.5 degrees above the zero marker. Walked out this morning, actually felt not, I mean, it's not warm, but it's warm. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no frost on the vehicles this morning. It feels pretty good out there, actually. Did you bike to work today?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, I've been super lazy.
Not that warm. I mean, it's not lazy to not bike all the way across town to work.
Objectively, no. But I'm calling myself lazy. Well, that's just speaking strictly for myself.
Well, it's because Nicole's not here. She's not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym. And you're like, well, I think I have to take the bike.
That's right. Yeah. She's not leaving me with no other options.
That's right. But I mean, not even that. Just the motivation is like, oh, you're going to the gym? I guess I'll just take the bike to work. You know what I mean? Like, no, there's a motivation factor there. Having a partner in getting back into being physical is absolutely very, it's a good thing to have.
You know what was actually happening is she was getting up extra early, and I was just like, I don't want to bike to work, so I guess I'll go into work extra early.
Yeah, I'll go to work at 4:30.
It's kind of nice, actually. Got so much done.
That's right. That's where I'd be, too. Like, I'm not going to bike. I'm going to go into work 4 hours early. Plenty to talk about this morning. It's a couple of things we didn't get to yesterday, including man stealing COVID. Well, COVID vaccine. Well done. I don't know what you're going to do with that, but well done. And the age-old question and inane question of the day: mint chocolate? Yay or nay? Will you be the judge? We hit hard on all the hard-hitting issues here on the Trail Break. I mean, the mornings at the Cabin. That's what we do here. We dive deep. Pull back the layers.
Mornings at the Cabin, the podcast.
Mornings at the Cabin, little CCR up around the bend. Still not sure if John Fogerty's Cajun. Still looking into it. Wheeler and Lecter with you on your Tuesday morning. It's 2.5 degrees above zero on your, did I say Tuesday? It's Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I have no idea what day it is right now. Is it Wednesday?
You always struggle around this point.
I struggle. Well, I mean, when it gets, it's getting into the winter season.
Yeah.
I struggle.
The summer, though, too. Spring, fall is not your stellar.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall. All you have to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But there's that,
I'll
like,
forget the day.
There's that like sweet spot in like mid to late May.
I know.
Where you're like,
I'm on it. You know what? It's more than you can ask from most people. Being on it for just a little bit in May. Want to talk about this. Friend of the show, Jill Rivera. On Facebook.
Oh, sorry. Just before we get to it.
Yeah.
To follow up on your morning question there.
Right.
John Fogerty was born in Berkeley, California.
Yeah, that's right. As Cajun as they come. actually, Adam Sandler, Cajun boy, based on John Fogerty.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, how do you like that?
Demonstration. I love that. It's great. Jill Rivera on Facebook put this up there. Now we're heading into we're in the month of chocolate. We're 11 days away from Halloween. We're still not sure if we can do Halloween like we want to do Halloween. I mean, theoretically, we should be able to once things open up.
Sounds like we should.
This is a weird one. This might be one of the weirder transitions from opening up restrictions, which actually brings more restrictions to certain places.
Mm-hmm.
So we're opening up, but some things are still closing down. And I've kind of had a firsthand experience with it.
You've been shutting places down with
I've been shutting places
hands.
Down as they open up.
Yeah.
We're opening up. No, you're not. but she put this up there as she posted a tweet, a screenshot of a tweet.
Uh-huh.
And it says, you really have to respect the versatility of mint.
Mm-hmm.
Good in cocktails, chocolate, with meat, in ice cream, as tea, just at home in a salad, as it is in a cigarette. Yep. A whole genre of sweets that are just called mints. And it's only the only mainstream toothpaste flavor. Insane herb. Very true.
It's so
very true. So the responses to that, her husband, Justin Rivera, right. It's great with chocolate. Her first response, don't make me block you.
Well, she had posted it with the controversial statement saying false.
That's right.
As in you don't have to respect mint.
Right.
It's not an insane herb because it's not good in chocolate.
Now, I know Phoenix would agree with this. She does not like mint chocolate.
Really?
Completely. So have you ever had those little celebrations cookies?
Yes.
You know those?
I love them.
Okay. Do you know the mint ones?
Yes.
Okay. So I get the mint truffle ones specifically because I know she won't eat them.
Oh. You little rascal, you.
I am a rascal flat. Also, my favorite band. But I get those. I love them. They got the little, like the mint on the inside of an After Eight or something like that, where it's just like the cream almost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love them.
Those little sticks.
Yeah.
Chocolate sticks.
I love those.
Yeah.
You stir your coffee with them.
They're great.
Oh, I love them. Celebrations cookies. This morning's show brought to you by, Celebrations cookies. But controversial statements. Lecter, we wanted to put this out there. Mint chocolate, you're in yay or nay, and you are in the yay category.
I'm in the yay category all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, I find we often do. Sometimes, periodically, we bring up...
Not a controversial show at all.
Well, we bring up controversial flavor topics.
There have
been heated debates about whether or not cantaloupe is a fruit or garbage.
Yeah.
Whether
we all agree it's garbage.
We all agree it's garbage. Unless it's wrapped in prosciutto.
Oh my God, so good.
But that's, so we've been up and down these heated debates about different foods and flavors and such. And I find like we are more often than not on the same page. I can't think of anything.
Do you stand on, I know you like bacon because bacon is almost a perfect
food. Right.
But there is a lot of bad bacon.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like?
Mm-hmm.
It's the President's Choice.
Yes.
Thick cut.
Oh, thick cut.
Yeah.
The steakin.
It comes in like a big block like this. And I usually cut them in half and I do it's 4 or 5 or 6 different servings. You cut them in half and then you have little slices of big thick cut bacon.
Yeah.
That's my favorite bacon.
Oh.
But there's a lot of bad bacon up there.
There's a lot of bad bacon.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Just like there's a lot of bad chocolate, I can't go above, say, 70% dark.
How do you define bad bacon? Sorry, just to dwell on this. Is it how it cooks?
If it's cut too thin, it becomes I can't do really crispy bacon. Like, I don't want bacon that just falls apart.
Right.
As I pick it up, it's like the end of Infinity War where it just turns into dust.
Right.
That's really Marvel fans out there. So I like a nice, it's got to be a little chewy almost. So I don't like it super crispy, whereas Phoenix likes it just burnt to a crisp.
Okay.
Yeah, it's why we're not getting married.
Irreconcilable differences.
Irreconcilable differences. We'll stay together, but it's tenuous. Justin says, right, great with chocolate. Another person says, it's my favorite. Megan, on her comment section, said, I thought I was the only one who thinks mint chocolate is gross. You're not the only one. Jill thinks that. My partner Phoenix thinks that as well.
So you're one of three.
And Jill says, it's a waste of perfectly good chocolate. These people are insane.
This is what I wanted to bring it to your attention.
We are
living amongst insane people.
Yeah.
There are those who think mint chocolate is not a good combination.
Right.
There are those, again, who think cantaloupe belongs in a fruit tray ensemble of sorts.
It doesn't. The cantaloupe just has a very small window. I've had good cantaloupe, but it's overwhelmingly I've had bad cantaloupe.
But it's still... so far down the list of fruits you would choose.
Yeah.
Right?
It's below dragon fruit. Dragon fruit doesn't taste like anything.
Even good cantaloupe is like 25th on the list.
Right. A friend of the show, Kim G. No, it's Kimberly on Facebook. It's orange chocolate that I can't stand. Agreed.
Oh my God, I love chocolate oranges.
That's disgusting. Now we're getting into controversy. My dad always used to get me Terry's chocolate oranges in my stocking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, thanks. And throw it away.
Really?
Well, I'd give it to him because I don't like chocolate and orange. Just don't do it for me.
Wow.
Chocolate and fruit. Strawberries dipped in chocolate. Great.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like you do a chocolate fondue.
If you don't like that, you're probably just not meant to be happy.
That's true. That's true. And I'm not, but I still like that. But a chocolate fondue, strawberry, banana.
Yes.
I will see that. Here's the thing: in a fondue, I'll do a mandarin slice into that banana, apple. I like that
apple chocolate.
Hell yeah, man!
Interesting,
nice sweets. Because you're using semi-sweet chocolate for a fondue, so a nice tart apple.
Mm.
I'd even go Fuji, but not like a Red Delicious or something like that because that's disgusting. But yeah,
what's the golden one called? Is it golden?
I think it's just golden
delicious.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be that one's time to shine.
Maybe a pink lady.
With chocolate there?
I like a pink lady.
Pink lady stands out on its own.
Yeah, mint chocolates. Yeah, absolutely. I'm here for it. I'm not a big fan of mint chocolate ice cream, but
Really?
I don't know why.
That's my fave.
Something about that.
It's my go-to.
No.
Yeah.
Tastes too much like toothpaste.
What?
You heard what I said.
Come on. Your chocolate toothpaste?
Listen, we could talk about this all day. We got to get back to the tunes and back to the news. We won't solve this one today. Mint and chocolate, is it good or is it the devil's work?
The Mornings at the Cabin podcast was recorded before a sort of live, thankfully not in the studio, audience.
Mornings at the Cabin brought to you by Aurora Ford, driving the north. We were talking yesterday about how on Monday I did my gun safety course, my restricted gun safety course. I'm not allowed to buy a cannon.
Not yet.
Trudeau, thanks. but I can now get my PAL, PAL, my possession and what is it?
Acquisition?
Possession, acquisition, and
license?
License. Yeah. Possession and acquisition license. I knew that.
That might not be right. I don't know. What do I know?
No, I know all the terms, and that's why I desperately need a gun. But I've got two rifles that were passed down from my dad that are at an old family friend's house, so I'm looking forward to getting those, getting them refurbished. And I was asking you, because you got your PAL. You've got it right there in your wallet. You're looking at it right now.
Possession acquisition.
There you go. And I was asking you, are you going to get a gun? And you said, no. And I said, so it's just me. My gun lust is getting out of control. But I did feel it yesterday because when I blink, it just says guns.
You just said guns. You just came in this morning and just said guns.
Guns.
And just had this crazy look in your eye.
I didn't even say it like that. I said it like this. Guns. But the guy I did it with at work, and we were talking. He's like, I'm looking forward to it. I like shooting. I don't know that I'm going to go hunting. It's something I could do. Right.
Right.
But I don't know that I'm going to go hunting. I mean, it's something that I've thought about. But I didn't grow up with it. I didn't grow up with any hunting or anything like that.
Right.
Obviously, we're in a place where hunting is huge. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure I do any hunting. But, like, I do like shooting. It's something I did a lot when I was a kid with my dad. And, you know, shot his 22. And, you know, should shot, you know, beer cans and things like that. And I always really liked it. I always really enjoyed it. I was good at it. So I really enjoyed it. And
I mean, what's not to like, right?
Right. Right.
A little senseless destruction.
It's not senseless.
Well, I mean, it's...
a long tradition
not
of destruction.
Especially when those are my precious antique cans.
Oh, look what you've done to them. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to being, maybe becoming a member of the gun club and going out to the shooting range.
Okay.
And, shoot some targets down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
I've still never shot an actual gun.
Really?
In my life.
That is a weird thing about doing a gun safety course is that you don't actually shoot anything.
And I thought that was going to be part of it.
I thought the practical was like, okay, well, let's go shoot something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I thought, they, take you to the outdoor range
the
there
range.
At the sand pits and, you know, like...
unload, load
teach
a gun.
You, like, some form and, you know, when you're actually discharging a firearm and no, that was not at all part of it. And so I came away being like, okay, I feel like I know... a lot about guns now.
Right.
Still never actually shot one.
But a weird part of the test was when he made you make a gun with your fingers and go pew, pew, pew. Didn't expect that.
I didn't do well at that part.
Yeah, that's right, because I was like...
yeah. Got too aggressive with
that
the pews.
That is not how guns sound. you don't shoot anything, and I mean, I guess that makes sense as well. But the thing about the course is that, like, and I mean, you know, call me a big fat baby if you want, but
okay.
Guns do, I mean, I think for a lot of people, it makes them a little nervous, actually, right?
Just like the concept.
Just the concept of guns and picking up one. It's just like, oh my God, this is like, we've shown in Hollywood, these things are incredibly dangerous, which is good. You're supposed to treat them as dangerous, or at least they can be lethal.
Right.
But going through Axe and Prove and like, the first thing is like assume that every gun is loaded actually makes me feel more comfortable around them for whatever reason. It's like,
really?
Okay, that's loaded. I can treat that with, respect. I keep my distance or whatever. But then going through the action proven, doing cycling through the action, checking the feet and examining the bore and all that stuff, even sticking your face down the barrel of a gun, which seems counterintuitive. All of that, obviously just going through that makes you feel 100 times more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
It's
a great course.
Great course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys ever want to do your gun safety course, Arctic Response does a great job.
Yeah.
It was like $250 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And it's the full day. And then you do your practical either at the end of the day or the next day, depending on time. And the practical only takes 20 minutes to a half an hour. it's a good thing to have. Yeah. If you ever do want to go hunting or if just, you know, something to have.
Yeah. I mean, the spectrum of anyone who may, you know, possibly be around guns ever at any point, from the full of gun lust.
Yep.
In Jesse and the you know, just
raging
like
gun.
Never shot a gun in their life. Don't know if they're ever going to own one. Lecter over here.
That's right.
It's either side. It's a great course to take, though, to yeah.
Why did you get it?
About. You know, and I've thought about that. I'm not.
Why'd you get it? You had no plan on getting a gun or having a gun or shooting a gun.
I think I just kind of took it in, you know, if I did.
It's good knowledge to have. It's good knowledge
to have. Yeah, it's absolutely good knowledge.
It's like having
to
a first aid course. I don't want to do first aid.
Yeah, but assuming you retain the important things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. And it's just, you know, in the event that you maybe do find yourself in the future, like
the coming water wars.
Exactly. Yeah. Or that lust just grows.
It grows and grows and grows. Listen, I play a lot of Grand Theft Auto, so I've been wanting to pick up a gun for years.
Right.
It's just something that's ingrained in you once you play that game for 5 minutes.
Right.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that, why you decided to get it. But it's good knowledge to have. Like, I know people that don't drive, but they still have their license. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I might even be called upon to drive a car at one point. I have a buddy of mine who I've known since college who is 44 and does not have his license, will not get his license.
Really?
And I've been telling him since, like, we lived together just out of college. We were doing theater together. I was like, just get it. Just get it so you have it.
Right.
He's like, well, I don't like driving. I was like, I don't care. I don't care if you don't like driving. Get your license so at least, one, you have a piece of ID, and two, if an emergency happened where no one else could drive or something like that, and you had to drive, you can do it. You may not like to do it, but at least you've got the skill to do it,
mm-hmm.
and you just refuse to do it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
the nice thing about your PAL, too, as opposed to even your driver's license, is you don't have to pay anything to renew it every year.
That's right.
It's whatever, like every, 5 years?
Every 5 years, you got to redo the course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, just like
and
first
do you even have to redo the course, or do you just have to reapply for your PAL and not?
No,
let it
I think
lapse?
You have to read before what the buddy said. What buddy said there at Article Response, what Aaron said was that you used to be able to challenge the test, but now I think you have to
challenge the
like,
test.
Like just come in. And it's like
take up arms against the test.
That's right. That's right. I challenge you to a duel. Test. No, you could go in and just be like, I'm just going to challenge the test to renew my license, and I don't think they let you do that. I think you might have to redo the course.
You got to redo the whole course.
I mean, which is good. I mean, that's just like with first aid and things like that. I think because the laws and things are changing more often, I think that's probably why.
Right.
Because in 5 years, who knows?
You know what? I don't think it would be the worst thing if you had to do that with your driver's license.
What do you mean? Especially when you get older.
You're paying for it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
May as well get a nice little course with it.
Well, I mean, once we can do like a simulated course or something like that in the office, it's like, here you go. Here's the steering wheel. We're going to take this virtual reality course. As long as you don't screw this up. Great.
Who's going to take that seriously?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been rock climbing with my virtual reality.
Really?
I am really good at it.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure that that translates. My gun less grows just in time for Halloween and Christmas. And also, all these car thefts. Story at GavinRadio.ca. 11 Yellowknife car thefts in 2 months, police say. Yellowknife RCMP say 11 vehicles have been reported stolen since the start of September on those five occasions. Now, you heard this in the news. Of five of those occasions, the keys were left inside.
That's not why you want to get a gun, is it?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Good, good, good.
No.
Well. Mornings at the Cabin, the podcast, where we cut out all the great music and you're left with the rest.
One is at the Cabin, brought to you by Aurora Ford, driving in the north. Something in the news that's a couple days old, and we're just not right on top of it. There's just so much news happening in the city of late, and cabinradio.ca has all of that for you. Ollie and the team working very hard away from the office until after Friday.
Hopefully.
And then people can be back in the office if they're fully vaccinated. We've got a bunch of anti-vaxxers on the crew here, so. Don't we?
We don't.
Megan Brackenberry, famously not vaccinated.
She's not part of the crew anymore.
That's right. She left and we took the vaccine back.
We said, get vaccinated don't get paid.
That's right. And she said, you know what? I'm going to stand up for my rights. And I'm going to go.
That's poor cabin hot goss because, of course, it is well documented that Megan Brackenberry was by far the first member of Cabin Radio to get
she
vaccinated.
She was by far the first one to get vaccinated. Also married during the summer. So vaxxed and married. Wonderful stuff. But
she's just ahead of it.
Just ahead of her time. She's an old soul. She's an old soul. Man stole COVID-19 vaccine from Yellowknife Hotel, RCMP say. Whether or not that's true is up. I'm joking. No, according to the RCMP, police were called. It'd be funny if it said, according to the RCMP, they were called, right? According to the RCMP, police were called. So you're talking to the police. According to the police, police were called to the hotel, which will remain nameless, on September 28th. So, I mean, even 2 days ago when the story broke, I mean, it's already 3 weeks old that this happened, right?
Right. Yeah.
After staff discovered a nursing station within the hotel had been broken into and vials of vaccine taken. RCMP did not name, like I said, the hotel in question. But Jeremy Kunayuna was charged with charges of break and enter and theft alongside a separate charge related to another break-in a week earlier. The missing vaccine has not been located at this time, said the RCMP on Monday. I wonder where it went. No, I mean,
September 28th. It probably just took them that long to wrap their heads around. Why? Why?
Well, I mean, maybe Jeremy could be a folk hero.
Go on.
He stole the vaccine to bring it to bring it maybe to a community. Maybe to some elders that had not been vaccinated yet.
He
drink
robbed,
this, said Jeremy.
Robbed from the available to give to the freely available for the better.
Robbed from
part
the available
the
to
year.
Give to the slightly hesitant. But I mean, there are people who can't. You know, I mean, I think we're doing a pretty good job of getting to people who can't get out and move around.
Right. Yeah.
But maybe there are some people
that priority.
Maybe there's some people that we're missing that we didn't know about. And Jeremy's like, you know what? I'm steal it from my people.
There's only like 40,000 people.
That's right.
I don't think you're going to like lose track of too many.
That's right. I mean, we do. People fall through the cracks every day, even here in the NWT, even with our small population.
Okay, 44,000.
All right. Well, that's what tipped the scales. So Jeremy is obviously in a bit of hot water. His case is yet to be fully heard in court. Of course, he's assumed innocent until proven guilty. I love that we have to have put that in everything. It's just like, yeah, can we just assume that anyway? But if you have any information about where these vaccines might be, or hey, if you happen to get a vaccine that may not have been from a nurse or at a primary healthcare location or at one of the pop-ups, maybe someone just gave it to you in a drink. 867-669-1111 is the Yellowknife detachment numbers. But remember, snitches get vaccines. Jeremy, I don't know if he's a folk hero or not. Maybe he tried to steal them to sell them. I don't know. I mean, what's the street value of a vaccine?
I would guess around zero.
Now, remember, this vaccine's only been developed in the last 2 years, so it's barely usable.
That makes it more exciting.
That's right.
That drives up its value.
Oh my God! This could give you this could give you an extra finger or some sort of other ailment.
Now yeah. I don't have any information or tips.
Okay,
but I do have a theory.
Great.
So I'm wondering if the anti-vax movement is so far
right
down
up there with bowel movement.
So far down the rabbit hole now.
Right.
You know, they're so far beyond, the humble beginnings of COVID being a hoax. They're so far beyond, you know, the vaccine being a governmental control mechanism.
I mean,
and
it is
dangerous to society.
I mean,
they're
it is
so far beyond all of that.
Right.
That now they've deduced that the government is just making it seem like the vaccine is experimental, but has actually been developing it for years with the inside knowledge of COVID, which they developed in a lab and created distrust to convince COVID deniers that the vaccine was dangerous and make them not want to take it.
This is not a theory. This is exactly what they believe. This is exactly what they believe. Probably from the like they developed this vaccine.
They think that the government has made it seem dangerous, but it's not actually dangerous, but they're just making it seem that way so they can keep it all for themselves.
The disease or the vaccine?
The vaccine.
Okay, I mean, this is what you're describing is the plot of Outbreak, 1993, starring Dustin Hoffman, Rene Russo, Kevin Spacey, and Morgan Freeman. Also Cuba Gooding Jr., a supporting role. He's fantastic.
I was not aware of that, and I recuse myself from any copyright infringements of any kind.
No, not at all. But, I mean, what you're kind of describing is that. So in that movie, it starts with a flashback into the 60s. They gas bomb an entire village in Africa to destroy an outbreak, but before that, get a sample of it. And then later on, in the 90s, 30 years later, it mutates and they can't stop it. So they had a vaccine
for... It
survived the gas. They had a vaccine for the original strain, but didn't have it for the second strain. So that's, I mean, so they in secret knew about the disease and had a vaccine for it, and then tried to use that vaccine on the new strain. It didn't work. And then an entire town of Cedar Creek, California was almost wiped out. There you go.
What happens in the end?
Oh, everyone dies. No, Donald Sutherland gets his comeuppance. Forgot about Don Suth. Donald Sutherland gets his comeuppance, and they save the town. But not before hundreds of people die needlessly because they were not told about the original vaccine. So, there you go.
I don't know if that quite sounds like my plot.
What you're talking about is that like it kind of alludes to like developing it and then developing the vaccine afterwards. This is all by YouTube stuff, by the way. By YouTube. We're not on YouTube anymore. But developing...
We're so far beyond by YouTube.
Right? Developing the vaccine beforehand and then developing the... Or developing the virus beforehand, then developing the vaccine, and then releasing the virus, and then being like, oh, well, we have a vaccine in 2 years, and that's why it took... That's why it was so quick.
Yeah.
That's the conspiracy.
I think that's the only logical explanation for
someone... I honestly can't believe we're talking about this a year and a half into this stealing, stupid thing.
For someone stealing a free vaccine.
That's right.
That's the only logical explanation.
That's right.
There. So should we just go on that?
Yeah. Jeremy, you're a folk hero. That's what we've all agreed upon here. You stole it for noble reasons. Just like Robin Hood.
The Mornings at the Cabin podcast.
Mornings at the Cabin brought to you by Aurora Ford, driving the north. 2.6 degrees. That's right above zero. It's gone up just a little bit. It's cloudy, but it's not bone-chillingly cold. So that's nice. Finishing off Mornings at the Cabin, we talked to Tim Sire, former president of the Chamber of Commerce. Yesterday and talked about Small Business Week, which is wrapping up on Friday. But Yellowknife's 2021 Business Award winners are announced. I didn't think they were going to be announced till Friday. So there we go. This is the second year of rebranding its annual award to reflect the challenge posed by COVID-19, the Business Resilience Awards, as they are known, of course. The list of winners, the whole story at cabinradio.ca. You can hear some quotes from the winners. I don't want to hear any of that. We just want to list the winners, of course. We removed ourselves from contention. Otherwise, we would have been all over this thing, right?
Would have been five awards
this
year. That's
right. Five awards.
Right.
Right. But some great winners. Piercings by Haley J winning Resilient Small Business of the Year Award. Congratulations, Haley. Oh, my God. I still have a free piercing from her from Burlesque. From 2 years ago, coming up on 3 years ago.
Oh, it's got to be expired by
now. No, she texted me, I think, about 6 months ago and just said, hey, you still got that? You want to use it? I was like, yeah, probably.
Wow.
Have not picked it yet. I keep on meaning to come on the program, and we got to pick a spot for me to do that on my body.
We did that
years ago. No, we did the tattoo. We didn't do the piercing, though.
Oh, you're right.
Did the tattoo, and I got it where someone suggested. So
yeah. But we talked about it.
There's going to be a couple places where it can't go.
Well.
All right?
And those were the overwhelming favorites.
My butt. Yeah. My butt can't pierce my butt.
Somewhere in that,
not gonna get a Prince Albert. No. Not gonna do it.
Any other princes?
I mean, yeah, I feel like with
don't
Prince Albert,
a Prince Andrew.
Well, I feel like with a Prince Albert, you gotta have something to show off and put it out there.
Or maybe does that give you?
Do not
to show off.
I mean, it certainly does. Anyone I've ever known with a Prince Albert, I've known them to show it off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah. I was going to say, how do you know if someone had a Prince Albert?
Oh, you know.
They let you know, probably.
Yeah. They definitely let you know. Anyone who's got that piercing is, like, really proud of what they're packing up.
That piercing is, like, for only, this sounds weird to say, but only the most mature people, because you can't just, you can't just show that off anywhere.
That's right.
It has to be under the right circumstance. You can't spring that on someone.
That's right. Although I did, you know, I worked in a lot of professional theater. There was a lot of flashing going on.
I take back everything.
That's fair enough. Resilient Large Business of the Year award going to Deton Show Management LP. I feel like they're too big to be winning one of these awards, but that's fine. Indigenous Entrepreneurship Resiliency Award going to Artec Engrave. Customer Service Award of Excellence, Weaver and DeVore, always right up there. Community Impact Award, Dragon Toner Law Office, absolutely. And I mean, a lot of that has to do with what we were doing with them for 10 months in a row. They were going to give $1,000 to a worthy cause to celebrate their 10th anniversary. So congratulations to them.
Great camp,
Resilient man. New Business business Award, Anytime Fitness. Resilient Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, Fate Beauty Boutique. Resilient Women in Business Award, Blunt YK. Innovation Award of Excellence, Copper House Eatery and Lounge. Workplace Health and Safety Award, arguably one of the most important awards given what we're going through. I'll just say it's the top one because it's going to Bella Dance. I may have a little, I may be a little biased. But I will say this, biased or not, I obviously know, have a firsthand account of the amount of work that Bella Dance Academy does, but also they've been told by the government that their plans have been the strictest and best that they've seen for basically everything they've done, because they've had to come up with a new plan. Like, dance studios, more than anyone, more than any other business, have been kind of put on the back burner. Like, restrictions will open, except dance studios.
Right.
We're opening except dance studios. It seems to be the one thing that can't open. Gyms and dance studios being really hard hit by stuff like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kudos to Bella Dance for continuing to always be there for their clients. But, I mean, gyms as well. Anytime Fitness, obviously, going through that. Congratulations to every one of the winners. But, obviously, there's that little – I have a bit more of an inside track on what Bella Dance has been through and the frustrations that they've had more than any other. But every business out there just – doing their best to serve their clients, to serve them safely, and to stay resilient in the face of the onslaught of a totalitarian dictatorship. I meant pandemic.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Ollie again.
Yeah, I was. Jeez, so much. Okay, a couple t-shirt ideas. Now, I still want to get the public inquiry one. Still got to do that. Got to go over to Janet and see her at Signed. But they were closed last week, so we kind of got muddled there.
Okay.
Do that one, but also an Ollie Williams t-shirt where he looks like Chairman Mao or Lenin. You know what I mean? Where he's like looking off into the distance, and it's like, this is where we're at.
Right.
Maybe with a hammer and sickle.
Yeah. The foundational building tools of cabin radio.
That's right. I mean, he's a permanent resident. I don't know what he's here for. I don't know what he's up to.
But he ain't going away.
He doesn't seem to be going away. Took my job as the leader and program director of this. That was never gonna happen. I'm sorry.
No, it was not.
The only person that could do that is him. But certainly we should get some sweaters that reflect his dictatorship.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We joke. We're not allowed to say anything bad about him, or we'll be fired.
We're contractually obligated to not say mean things about.
Got an NDA about what goes on here. Because congratulations again to all the winners for the Yellowknife Chamber of Commerce Business Resilience Awards this year. Well done.
Well done indeed.
Cabinradio.ca for all of that. And for all your news and everything you'd like to know about what's going on in the city, cabinradio.ca is where you want to be. Cabinradio.ca and the stream is where you want to be. Download the app if you haven't done that already. I never say this stuff anymore, because the people who are listening obviously already have the app. And if you're listening on the podcast, get the app.
Well, he filled some good time.
That's right. Pretty good time.
Well done.
Right. That's going to do it for Mornings in the Cabin for today. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Coming up in about 17 minutes, you got the 90s at 9 with Lecter, your favorite program filled with the worst songs that are also the best. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Check out more from the show at cabinradio.ca and by following the Mornings at the Cabin Facebook page.